remember sitting in a classroom in high school, or perhaps in college, and wondering as the teacher or professor scribbled on the board, or perhaps on a transparency using an overhead projector in the days before PowerPoint presentations, can you remember sitting there and wondering, well, how in the world does this matter in real life? Or why is this important? Why does this matter? Perhaps many of us in the church, and I imagine most outside the church who even know about it, wonder and ask the same thing when it comes to our Christian doctrine of the Trinity. How in the world does this matter in real life? Why is this important? Why does this matter? For me, and perhaps for you, any doctrine or theology or idea about a thing can only go so far, at least in the relevance department, when it remains on the upper floors, so to speak, or in the ivory towers of our mental and philosophical musings, when it remains simply a topic of conversation or a classroom discussion or maybe a sermon, to be shelved as soon as the dinner party or class or church is over. So I have no interest today in keeping the Trinity on the upper floors and in the ivory towers of our mental musings. I'd rather show you or communicate to you my own experience of what I've come to understand the Trinity to be. How it is, you might say, the Trinity has shown up in real life, in real time, to this one particular Christian pilgrim traveling along the way. And I leave it up to you to answer the question whether it matters or not. And to show you, I'm going to tell you a story. A story of last Wednesday, which began in the morning for me, sitting on a pillow cushion in my room, a pillow that was given to me by my mother-in-law, Carol. It is peach and cream. It's faded, oriental print. It has this intricate oriental garden scene with lotus flowers and peacocks. So I was sitting on my cushion, as I do most every morning, with my iPhone that I set for 5 minutes on my alarm. And then I brought to mind my centering prayer word, as was taught to me by some centering prayer teachers. It's a word that represents for me my intention to let everything go and to simply assent and consent to the presence of God. Very, very peaceful. And whenever any other words or phrases or thoughts enter my mind, which they invariably do, I bring to mind that word, that sacred word, as my intention to consent to the presence of God within and around. And I do this until I hear my iPhone beep. And for those 5 minutes, I find myself, and the more and more I've practiced this over the years, I've found myself floating in a time, an inner space that is out of time and beyond time, that is a void that's filled with light, that I imagine must feel a little bit of what it must like to rest in the arms of our Creator. So that was Wednesday morning. In the evening, I walked into the parish hall. There were tables covered with tablecloths, a candle placed on each table, and a rock beside the candle. And sitting at the tables were people, about 80 people spread among the tables from different faith traditions: Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, And I thought to myself, a variety of traditions, of course it makes sense that the Creator God, who manifests God's self with infinite variety of flowers and plants and species, of course it makes sense that there would be a variety of traditions that humans try to use to approach the holy. And part of this evening was spent listening to a woman named Sister Trish, who is a nun at the Emmanuel Monastery in Towson. She told the story of a young woman from Afghanistan named Amina, who was forced to flee her home in the year 2010. She was pregnant and her life was in danger. And so during the Christmas season, Sister Trish and the Benedictine Sisters of Baltimore got a call that this woman, Amina, pregnant, fleeing for her life from Afghanistan, had landed in Baltimore. It's a mystery how she'd arrived, but she was here. And they needed to find a safe place, a sanctuary for her. The sisters couldn't turn her away, and so they took her in. And on the feast of Mary, the Mother of God, they had a pregnant Muslim woman come to stay with them. And on the traditional feast of the Epiphany, the 6th of January, the baby was born at Mercy Hospital. And in a strange twist of providential serendipity, the time that they invited her in to stay was also the time that I happened to be there on retreat before I was ordained to the priesthood here. So I have a personal connection to this story. Amina and Asim ended up living at the monastery for 2 years, and they were cared for in every possible way by the sisters and the network of the sisters, doctors and nurses who gave of their time to make sure that this newborn life made its way safely into our world. Mercy and compassion enfleshed, love and care surrounding them. And then, after hearing the story, and after all the speakers had spoken, a member of our parish came up to me. Her eyes were alight, and her face was on fire, and her heart was beating, and her hands were shaking with excitement. And she said, "You know what happened at our table? I was sitting at the table, and this woman was sitting at the table, and this other woman was sitting at the table." The woman who was a staff member at the Asylee Women Enterprises, which came out of Amina and Asim's experience, because now this is a network of people supporting people who were fleeing for their lives. She said, "The community where I live, this retirement community where I live, has a group of Asylee women right next door. They've been there this whole time, and because this woman from Asylee Women's Enterprises was sitting at my table, we started talking and we realized we're neighbors." And so she started dreaming aloud, "What if we invite them to tea? What if we walk with them, invite them to our gardens? What if we share stories? What if we embrace them and welcome them? And what if we allow them to welcome and embrace us?" So that is my story for you, my story from Wednesday. I could go on and on about connection, relationship, unity. There are these really cool research topics about quantum physics and science that point to everything being connected, but you can read those yourself. I ask you, can you imagine and believe in your heart that it's all connected? And I ask you, does any of that matter? Amen.